Blog Talk Radio.
Yahweh is the creator.
of the heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that therein is. Yahweh is the Savior and the Redeemer of not only Israel, but of the entire world. Yahweh is our judge. Yahweh is our lawgiver. And Yahweh is our King. And he alone will save us. So we give all honor, all glory, and all praises to the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. And let's say shalom to all of our family that are listening via the internet, whether it be Facebook, Blog Talk, or YouTube. But we know that the only reason why you're tuned in is because of your love, your fear, and your love towards the Holy One of Israel, whose name alone is Yahweh. And what will we be discussing this evening? Well, this evening we will be discussing an interesting topic, an interesting meditation that the Most High has given me this week. To start off this meditation is what Yahweh has set before us, which is his book, his laws, and his testimony, which are filled with his words and the testimonies of his mighty acts, whether it was done by his servant or whether it was done by Yahweh himself. Because all the mighty acts that was done by Yahweh's servant only took place in heaven because Yahweh allowed it to. And coming into this knowledge, coming into the realization, being awakened from the darkness and being brought to the light, Yahweh has revealed a lot. Yahweh has shown a lot. Yahweh has proved a vast majority is just abundant. The abundance just is out of Yah's sanctuary. But with this wisdom, with this understanding, and with this knowledge, a vast majority of our people have been lost. See, this wisdom of Yah is so high. The wisdom of Yahweh is so superior that there's no knowledge on the face of this earth that equals it. So when you receive it, it's like something that you've never received before ever in your life. And once you taste it, and once you see that it is good, you want more of it. And you yearn for more of it. But the thing about it is that because we've never received this type of wisdom, this type of understanding, and this type of knowledge, we are under the vast impression that this wisdom, understanding, and knowledge come from us. And there's things that Yahweh has done to let us know what separates him from his people. And this is what we will be discussing this evening. We will be discussing what Yahweh has done and what we have done. Because many people try to intermingle the works. Many people try to make the judgment of the Most High. That's why we always start off with saying Yahweh is our lawgiver, Yahweh is our judge, and Yahweh is our King. Because we never lose sight of who is the judge, the ultimate judge, and that's Yahweh. The only reason why we know anything about judgment is because of Yahweh. The only reason why we have any wisdom is because of Yahweh. And the only reason why we have any understanding and knowledge is because of Yahweh. So Yahweh has made a vast difference between his works and what we are doing today. And we're going to discuss some of these things. And there will be a part two to this because there's too much to just wrap up in one lesson. But we're going to deal with some of the things that we're going to see what Yah has done and what we've done. And what the majority of what we've done is we just stand with confusion of faces. And there's only one reason why we have confusion of faces. And I'm going to show you this. If you turn with me to the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter. In the book of Daniel, the 9th chapter, I'm going to read the 8th verse. Well, no, I'm going to start at the 7th verse. And it reads, O Yahweh, righteousness belongs unto you, but unto us, confusion of faces. as at this time, to the men of Yehuda and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and unto all Israel that are near and that are far off, throughout all the countries whither you have driven them, because of their trespass that they have trespassed against you. O Yahweh, to us belongs confusion of faith, to our kings, to our princes, and to our fathers, because we have sinned against you. So, no matter what it is, your leaders, your parents, your princes, your kings, all that's before you, all of us have confusion of faces. And why do we have confusion of faith? Because we have sinned against the Most High. And that's exactly what sin will do. It will have us in a confused state. And it will put you in a state of confusion where you will be under the illusion and impression that you call the shots. You will be under the illusion or the impression that now you have to say so over what Yahweh does. It will have you under the illusion and the impression that now you're able to dictate how the earth moves, who's in it, and who leaves it. Because why? Because confusion of faces belongs unto us. So the only way to get rid of this confusion of faith, the only way to get rid of this is to seek out the words of the Most High. And what is the words of the Most High saying to us today? Well, the words of the Most High, what makes the Most High words so beautiful is that the Most High not only communicates to his people, but he communicates to his people in a language that we can understand. He communicates to his people in a way that we can follow. This is how Yahweh communicates to his people. If you turn with me to the book of Amos, third chapter. In the book of Amos, the third chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the very first verse. Amos 3:1 reads, hear this word that Yahweh has spoken against you, O children of Israel, against the whole family whom he has brought up from the land of Egypt. So Yahweh say, I'm not just talking to just the men. I'm not just talking to the women. I'm not just talking to the children. I'm talking to the whole family. And look at what Yahweh is saying and purposing to us today. Yahweh said that you only have I known of all the families of the earth. Therefore will I punish you for all of your iniquities. And then here comes the question. Can two walk together except they be agreed? Will a lion roar in the forest, which have no prey? Will a young lion cry out of the den if he has taken nothing? Can a bird fall in a snare upon the earth where no gin is for him? Shall one be taken? Shall one take up a snare from the earth and have taken nothing at all? Shall a trumpet be blown in the city and the people be not afraid? Shall there be evil in the city, and Yahweh have not done it? And these are some poignant, beautiful questions. Because if a trumpet is blown, yes, the people will be afraid. Yes, the people will be intimidated. Because they know through experience that a trumpet being blown, and a alarm being sounded, a horn being blown throughout the city, that there's impending danger that is coming. So the people will start being afraid, like, what's going on? Is there a tornado? Is there what is taking place? All type of things are going to be purposed. But it says, shall there be evil in the city? Yahweh have not done it. And this is the question that Yahweh has posed to his people. Yahweh said, is there evil in the city and I have not done it? And the vast majority of our people, under the impression that the evil that we are receiving in the city is outside of Yahweh. We think that this captivity is because of the white man. We think that this being the tail and not the head is because these jobs won't show us any favor. We think that we don't have our own community and our own businesses, and we can't unite with one another all because of some stubborn leaders that refuse to come together. Well, little do our people can know, or little do our people consider, is there any evil in the city? And they have not done it. And the bottom line is no. There is no evil that's happening within the city. There's no evil that's happening within the country. There's no evil that's taking place in the world today, and Yahweh has not done it. Even if the wicked are ruling, even if the wicked are passing evil laws, even if they're passing evil statutes, it's all by the hands of Yahweh. So the trumpet is being blown, and the trumpet is letting you know that the evil that's happening to your city is because of Yahweh. And the confusion of faces belongs unto us because of our sins. And then it says in verse 7, it says, surely Yahweh will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets unto his servants, the prophets. Now, our people think that Yahweh is still working today. Well, if you believe, if you don't believe and understand that Yahweh is still working today, then you ought to know that surely Yahweh said he will do nothing but that which he reveals unto his servants, the prophets. So it's Yahweh that he will do nothing, but he reveals his secrets through his servants, the prophets. And they're messengers, just like angels are messengers. Just like Levites, the priests, are messengers, these messengers are set up from Yahweh. So Yahweh said, look, whatever I'm going to do in the earth, I'll reveal it to my servants, the prophets. And this is the main thing that our people are denying today, because our people don't know how to differentiate the works of Yahweh and the works of man. Turn with me to the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter. In the book of Malachi, the fourth chapter, I will start reading at the 16th verse. Well, excuse me, that's Malachi the third chapter. Malachi the third chapter in the 16th verse. And it reads, then they that fear Yah spake often one to another, and Yahweh hearkened and heard it, and a book of remembrance was written before him for them that fear Yah and their thought upon his name. And they shall be mine, saith Yahweh of hosts, in that day when I make up my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spareth his own son that serves him. Then you shall return and discern between the righteous and the wicked, and between him that serve Elohim and him that serves him not. So this is what Yahweh is essentially doing today. He separated the righteous from the wicked. He separated from those that will serve Yah and from them that will serve him not. Yahweh is essentially separating the holy from the unholy. And you see, Yahweh has put his hand on everything that Yahweh has ever done is holy. Like the 6 days of creation, no one or nothing can ever compare to those works. Those things are holy. Those creations are holy. They're set apart. That's only attached to Yahweh. Just like this book. As much as people want to talk about King James, or they want to act like they got the truth. Well, the only way you're going to get the truth is if you bear the words of Yahweh. And Yahweh said that his book lacked nothing. Why? Because it says his spirit has kept them. Because we have to separate works of Yah from the works of man. Because this is what's going to separate the holy from the unholy. And let's read about a couple of works from Yah. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter. in the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, and the 39th verse, it reads, "See now that I, even I am he, and there is no Elohim with me. I kill and I make alive. I wound and I heal, and neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand." So Yahweh has let you know all of these things about his works, all of these things about his pain. It is Yahweh that kills, and it's Yahweh that makes alive. It is Yahweh that wounds, and it's Yahweh that heals. And there is none that can deliver out of his hand. Why? Because there is no Elohim besides Yahweh. So Yahweh has let you know everything that's taking place in the city, the good, the righteous, the evil and wicked, is all by my permission, all by my say-so, all from my doing. So now you can start separating and saying, man, these things can only be done by Yahweh. Just like when Yahweh started setting the plagues in Egypt. And when it got to a certain place, they said, look, man, this is not the work of the magician. This is the finger of Elohim. Because Yahweh is going to separate what his works are and what man's works are. And you're going to see the works of Yahweh because they can't be duplicated. And what Yahweh has set forth, that's his. What Yahweh has made, that's his. That belongs to him. That's holy. That's set apart. That's not for you or I to dictate anything of the works of the Most High. That's not for you and I to make any judgment call from that which the Most High has sanctified and set apart and made for himself. So anytime we try to make a judgment call on what Yahweh has created, well, you better be in harmony to the words of Yahweh. And what are some of the things that most people are acting like they made? Why, or what are some of the things that some of our people are acting like they've created? Or that they have to say so to either do or not do. Well, one of the major attacks on holiness that most of our people make is on the Shabbat day. They're quick to tell you you can't keep it. They're quick to tell you why you can't keep it. They're quick to tell you what you can and what you can't do in captivity. But let's see who made the Sabbath day. Let's see who created the Sabbath day. And let's see if this is the works of Yah or is this the works of man. Turn to the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter. In the book of Genesis, the 2nd chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the very first verse. In Genesis 2, verse 1, it reads, "Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, Elohim ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made." So Yahweh has let you know everything in the heavens and the earth, they were finished. And now, since they were finished, they had come to a cease. And what happens when things come to a cease? They come to a rest. And look at what Yahweh did in the third verse. It reads, "And Elohim blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his works, which Elohim created and made." So who blessed the seventh day? Yahweh. Who sanctified the Sabbath day? Yahweh. And who rested from all his works which he had done? Yahweh. Point blank, period. All these are the works of Yahweh. And all Yahweh, and what Yahweh did, he shared his day with his people. Yahweh said that I'm going to make this day as a covenant that I'm going to make with my people. This is how you're going to show the world that you that you know me, that you serve me. Because when I rest, you rest. And this was established in the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter. Because inevitably you'll have stuff that say, well, that rest that's in the book of Genesis, the second chapter, that's not the same rest that's in the book of Genesis, the 20th chapter. Well, what other day did Yahweh bless and sanctify? What other day did Yahweh set apart and say this is a Shabbat? Well, we're going to read about it. And we're going to see that it's exactly the same holy day. Because why? We're going to see the same works attributed to the day. In the book of Exodus, the 20th chapter, and the 4th verse, and the 8th verse, this is the 4th commandment. It says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shall thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of Yahweh your Elohim. And thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days Yahweh made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. And he rested the seventh day. Wherefore Yahweh blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So this is how you know it's the same exact holy day. Why? Because it has the same exact attributes to it. This is the, you know, 6 days Yahweh worked and created everything. The heavens, the earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and he rested the seventh day. So this is the day that Yahweh has shared with his people. This is the day that Yahweh said, this is the day that Yahweh has given to his people as a covenant to show the world that Yahweh is your Elohim. So when in the world did Yahweh ever give man permission to say when the seventh day can be kept and when it can't be kept? When did Yahweh ever say it's up to man to determine where it can be kept and when it can't and where it can't be kept? All the holy things that we can keep in captivity, Yahweh gave us in the book of Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. And you know the first holy day that he gave us to keep was the Sabbath day. It's the Sabbath day. And there are holy days where Yahweh said, don't keep them in any other place that you dwell, but except the place where I chose to place my name at. But guess where you won't see that statue connected to? You will not see that connected to the Sabbath day. See, all that stuff means something to man. They just want to see the priest. They just want to see a bunch of burnt offerings. They want to see a bunch of sacrifices. But Yahweh said, put away your burnt offerings and your sacrifices and eat flesh. The first Sabbath that was ever kept on the face of this earth was by Yahweh. And you cannot tell me where that was kept at. So you can't say, well, he kept that in Jerusalem. He kept that with the priests and sacrifices. No, it just said Yahweh ceased from his work and he rested there. And he has shared that rest with his people. And what is the penalty or what is the judgment for not keeping Yahweh's rest? Well, let's turn to see. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter. In the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter, we're going to read a testimony about a man who was just in the wilderness, and he was gathering sticks. Now, what was he gathering sticks for? I don't know. Maybe he was gathering sticks because it may have been actually a little breezy that day. He was trying to make a fire. Maybe he was gathering sticks because he was trying to build a fire to feed the family. Maybe he was gathering sticks because he wanted to take his drum lesson. I don't know why he was gathering sticks. But we're going to read about what happened when a man was caught gathering sticks. In the book of Numbers, the 15th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 32nd verse. And it reads, and while the children of Israel were in the wilderness, they found a man that gathered sticks upon the Sabbath day. And they that found him gathering sick brought him unto Moses and Aaron and unto all the congregation. Now they didn't find this man gathering sick. He didn't talk to nobody. He didn't pull nobody to the side and say, man, you can't keep this day. We're in the wilderness. We're in the parched. We can only keep this day in the land where Yahweh, all they did was just find this man gathering sticks. But they knew that what he was doing was an abomination. Or it may have been Yahweh's sin to do it. But whatever it is, we got to bring you to the leaders. And that's exactly what they did. They brought this man to Moses and Aaron. And we're going to read what's in place. And it says, and they put him in war because it was not declared what should be done to him. So in other words, the judgment wasn't given yet. The judgment was not known yet. They said, okay, we're going to make sure that he's bound. We're going to keep him in place. And we're going to go seek y'all. And we're going to see what the judgment is. And look at what the judgment was. And Yahweh said unto Moses, the man shall be surely to death. And all the congregation shall stone him with stones without the camp. And all the congregation brought him without camp. And stoned him with stones, and he died. And Yahweh commanded Moses. So Yahweh said, kill him. For so it don't matter what he was gathering sticks for, it was an abomination in the eyes of the Most High. And Yahweh said, kill him. And make sure all the congregation of Israel stoned him with stones. Because this is the judgment for defiling the Sabbath day, is death. And it don't matter how you defiled it. Whether you picking up sticks, watching the baseball game, watching the football game, watching your car, going shoe shopping, going clothes shopping, or on social media all day telling people, don't keep the Shabbat day. The penalty for not keeping the Shabbat day is death. Because Yahweh is our judge. And we see the works of Yahweh. It's Yahweh that made the Shabbat day. Not us. It's Yahweh that put the stamp on the Shabbat day. Not us. It's Yahweh that set the standard for the Shabbat day and not us. So why would you go and inquire of a man on what to do to what Yahweh has made? You inquire of Yahweh first. And if you go inquire of a man, the least you can do is inquire of a servant of Yahweh that's going by Yahweh's word. You don't just go to any old body, because any old body goes, man, you better go to work. Man, you better go and pick up them sticks. They laying there. Man, forget that, man. The playoffs only once a year. You better watch that game. Because they don't know judgment. Because wisdom lets you know that evil men, they don't know judgment. Because they're not even looking for judgment. So why inquire about something that's holy as Yahweh's creation and put it in the judgment of a man's hand? A man didn't even create the Shabbat day in the first place. See, the Most High said, false balance is an abomination. And it's an abomination to go to a man trying to determine whether it's righteous to keep what Yahweh has created. If that man, especially if that man or that woman can't show you in the words of Yahweh, where it's either justified or it's condemned. Why do we keep the Shabbat day? Because Yahweh made the Shabbat day. And he rested. And he gave that to his people. If Yahweh said, stop keeping the Shabbat day, then guess what we as servants of Yahweh will have to do? We will have to stop. But he hasn't. See, all you just got is a bunch of little knuckleheads that just read a couple of scriptures. And they don't understand what they're reading, and they just stop. They don't know how to read precept upon precept, line upon line, you're little when they're little. They just read stuff and say, yep, can't keep the Shabbat day. And now you're speaking great words against keeping the Shabbat day. But when you ask them, well, what law am I breaking for keeping the Shabbat day? They can't show you. What testimony am I going against for keeping the Shabbat day? And they can't show me. Because all they doing is giving you the imagination of their own heart. All they're doing is giving you the imagination of their own words. just like they'll do with this next thing. They'll stand up and they'll proclaim, man, there is no prophets. Because all prophets do is predict the future. That's all a prophet does. And if a man just reads to you out of a book, he ain't no prophet. Yeah, I know it's plenty of things in there that I didn't see that I showed him, but he ain't no prophet. I know the statutes and judgments that Yahweh done showed to this man, and he didn't show it to me, but he ain't no prophet. All he did is just read out the book. Well, if it was that easy, how come you didn't pick it up? If it's that simple, how come you didn't get it? Because the reason why is because you think that you determine what a servant of Yahweh is. You think that you determine what a messenger of Yahweh is supposed to do. Well, let's read what Yahweh says his messenger does. In the book of Deuteronomy, well, we're going to read about a false prophet first. Since people love to throw that word around casually, as soon as you say something that they don't agree with, you're a false prophet. You said another false prophet, and you false prophesy. Well, let's see what Yahweh determined as a false prophet. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 13th chapter. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 30th chapter, and the very first verse, he reads, if there arise amongst you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and give him a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, well, wherefore he spake unto you, saying, let us go after other deities which thou hast not known, and let us serve him. So Yahweh said, look, they may be a prophet that rise or a dreamer of dreams. And this fight and wonder come to pass. They say, man, it's about to rain tomorrow. And boom, it's raining. And then they say, right after it stopped raining, the hail's going to come forth. And boom, it stopped raining and the hail comes forth. Now people looking like, man, this is a prophet right here. This is a problem. He says it's going to rain, and it rained. He says it's going to hail, and it's going to hail. And it hailed. Man, this cat right here, he's something deep. But then next thing you know, he said, let us go serve JC. Let us go serve O.L. Let us serve B.A.A.L. Let us serve the false idols that's in the scriptures. Well, look at what Yahweh says. He says, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of the prophet. He still calls them a prophet. Or that dreamer of dreams. For Yahweh your Elohim proves you to know whether you love Yahweh your Elohim with all your heart and with all your soul. And you shall walk after Yahweh your Elohim and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice. And you shall serve him and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from Yahweh your Elohim, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which Yah your Elohim commanded you to walk in. So shall you put the evil away from the midst of you. So that's all these false prophets are trying to do. They try to get you out of the way. They try to get you to serve something outside of Yah, because they tried to get you out of the way. And Yahweh said they shall be put to death. Now, by criteria of this definition, how much of this is going on today? It's a bunch of men, a bunch of women, a bunch of people that's rising up. And they try to entice the sons and daughters of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob to serve something which is not Yahweh. Now, whether they try to get you to serve another idol, or whether they try to get you to serve and follow them, they try to get you to serve something that's not Yahweh. And Yahweh said, you get rid of this. You put this evil from the midst of you. And we're in captivity, so we're not in a position to where we can stone false prophets. or we sold men and enticed men and women that enticed us to serve other idols. But what you can do is you get away from them, because Yahweh will get rid of them. And this is taking place every day. But yet you can read from the words of Yah. You can show forth secrets from the words of Yah. You can bring forth the statutes, judgment, and testimonies of Yahweh, and they'll accuse you of being a false prophet. Well, what false prophet tried to turn people to go serve the Most High? What false prophet tries to bring people to go testify for the Most High? None that I've came across. None that I've met. Now, it's easy to put praise out, but at the end of the day, when you see what works they try to proclaim, they try to get you to serve them. They want you to be in awe and shock of them. But they're not going to be diligent in the works of the Most High, because they try to be diligent in having you serve either an idol or serving them, making them your idol. But what's the criteria of a messenger of Yah? What is the criteria of a prophet? Well, let's see. By the words of Yahweh, let's see. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter. And in the book of Deuteronomy, the 18th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 18th verse. I'm going to start reading at the 17th verse. And it reads, "And Yahweh said unto me, they have well spoken of that which they have spoken." And this is where Israel came to Moses, and they said, look, Yahweh came down from a mount, spoke to us. We see the mountains on fire. We see this great smoke. We see this thick darkness. Man, we don't want Yahweh talking to us directly anymore. At least we hear his voice and we die. So we tell you what, you go and inquire with Yah. And you come back and tell us what Yahweh has told you for us to do. All that you say, that Yah said, we will do. And Yahweh said, okay, they well spoken what they said. And look at what Yahweh said for. He says, I will raise them up a prophet from amongst their brethren, like unto you, and will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require it of him. So whatever that this prophet, those that speaks in the name of Yah, or don't speak in the name of Yah, Yahweh said that he will require it of him, not of you, not of me. But let's continue reading. It says, but that prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And thou shalt say in thy heart, how shall we know the word which Yahweh have not spoken? Good question. And look at the answer. When a prophet speaks in the name of Yahweh, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which Yahweh have not spoken. But that prophet has spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Now I'm looking through this scripture, and I'm trying to see where they say that the criteria of a prophet is that he just predicts the future. What does it say that a prophet of Yahweh is a fortune teller? That all he does is just tell what the future is. I didn't read that as a criteria. It says if he says the thing which comes not to pass, then don't fear that prophet. But you know what Yahweh left? Yahweh left his messengers on the face of this earth. Yahweh has sent his messengers on the face of this earth to reveal his words. And Yahweh is causing it to pass. Of course the hard-hearted is not going to see it. Of course the stiff-necked is not going to see it. Of course those that have no desire and have turned their foot from Yahweh's sanctuary, of course you don't see it. Because, you know, now you're back into the congregation of the dead. Now you're back in utter darkness. Of course you didn't see it. Of course you didn't recognize that Moray Elisha was the messenger of Yahweh. Because you had your eye on not the ball at all. You was focused on yourself. You was focused on your household. You was focused on everybody else. But you wasn't focused on Yah. And Yahweh said, you get rid of the false prophets. And Yahweh said that he sent these false prophets to tell you things, to see, to test us. To see if we love the Most High with all our heart and with all our soul. So when you see T.D. Jakes, when you see these other false preachers set it up, or there may be some in the nation of Israel that set up and enticing you not to serve Yahweh, then you better be diligent and show Yahweh love and depart from that. But just because the messenger of Yah says something that you don't agree with or you can't see, that doesn't give you the judge to judge. That don't make you the judge to say, oh, nah, he a false prophet because I don't get what he's saying. She got to be a false prophetess because I don't understand what she's saying. As if now the angels of righteousness run through you. No. These are the works of Yahweh, not the works of man. This is what Yahweh has set forth and not what man has set forth. So we just have to make a, we just have to put a difference between the unholy and the holy. And what else are we going to make a difference out of? Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter. People get all type of dogmas. Well, if you was a prophet, you would have got it right the first time. Man, the only one that's 100% right is Yahweh. We men, of course we err. Of course we make mistakes. That's why Yahweh said that his anger don't last and abide forever. Because we know man is nothing but dust. That's all we are. But now when you say you a messenger of Yah, they say, wait, then everything has to be flawless. No, everything has to be what I say of God. And if you say what I say of God, now we're going to be looking for the works. And if it comes to pass, then we know that Yahweh sent you. If it don't, then Yahweh didn't send you. It's just as simple and plain as that. But it didn't say hate, grow animosity, start going out in the world spreading rumors and tell back. Yahweh didn't command none of this. Yahweh didn't commission none of this. But in the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 9th verse. Because this is the reason why most people don't see. This is the reason why most won't follow. This is why most people will follow after the wrong instead of the right. Because Yahweh said this is the book of Jeremiah, the 17th chapter, and the 9th verse. It says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then verse 10 lets you know who can know it. It says, I, Yahweh, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So you know what? All the people is rolls up and say, man, you can't keep the Sabbath day. Yahweh don't even delight in you keeping the Sabbath day. Y'all gonna search your heart. That's what you want to do in the first place. So now he doesn't have your desires. So now just as adamant as someone is about keeping the Sabbath day, now you just adamant that you can't. Yahweh says that he's sure he won't do nothing but that which he reveals into his service to prophets. And you will have people say there are no prophets. Why Yahweh done gave you the desires in your heart? As a man, so is he. If you don't see no, if you don't think there's no prophets, guess what? There are none to you. This is like that, you just like that heat in the desert. You don't even see what's good coming. Because Yahweh gave you the desires of your heart. Yahweh says that he rested and it was good. So he blessed and sanctified him. But you won't see no good in it because Yahweh is giving you the desires of your heart. So no matter what righteousness tries to go forth, the wicked will always reject it. It's an abomination to them. Because Yahweh is giving the man the desires of his heart. And this is why the vast majority of my people, they don't see it. They don't see it at all. But they'll say praise God all day and be doing contrary to what Yahweh says. They'll say hallelujah and be doing and speaking great words to give service to Yah. Well, Yahweh said, don't take my name in vain. And that's exactly what they're doing. See, what people don't understand. See, the scriptures say the ox knows his own and the ass is master's crib. But my people, they don't know. Yea, they don't consider. They don't even consider. And they'll tell you in a minute, man, that's not the law. That's not keeping the law. That's not doing the law. That's not confirming the law. Well, the law is Yahweh's words. And you're going to hear greater words than you'll hear most Israel speak about. Man, we just under these curses. We under these curses. And then you say, okay, we under these curses. How are we under these curses? And then you'll hear a bunch of finger pointing towards man. A bunch of finger pointing towards nations. A bunch of finger pointing towards our forefathers. When Yahweh proclaimed and said, we have done worse than our fathers. But they can confirm that we under these curses. But they think this is the works of man. But we're going to read to see if these are the works of man. Turn with me to the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. Because we just read that Yahweh is giving man according to his heart and the fruits of his doing. Well, let's read Deuteronomy 28 chapter. Since people want to say, man, we just up under the curse. We just up under these curses, man. And that's true. We are up under the curses. But why are we up under the curses? Is it the works of man or is it the works of Yahweh? Well, let's read. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter and the 15th verse, it reads, but it shall come to pass if, and that's a big word there, if, because now this is conditional. It says, if thou will not hearken unto the voice of Yahweh your Elohim, to observe to do all his commandments, his statutes, which I command you this day, that all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Well, I thought that we was brought into captivity because the white man gave us the Bible. So he came over with swords and all type of trickery and kicked out the whole nation. Well, Lord, behold, Yahweh said it shall come to pass, and we didn't hearken to the voice of Yahweh to observe to do his commandments and his statutes that he commanded us this day. And then he said, all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Now, if our people wasn't obedient and hearkening to the words of Yahweh then, and we being so stiff-necked and rebellious and not listen to the words of Yahweh now, then what do you think is going to be upon us and overtake us? You're not going to disobey, not keep the laws of Yahweh, the commandments of Yahweh, the statutes of Yahweh, and then the blessings fall upon you. Because why would that apply here, but not then? Because this is the works of Yahweh. And to confirm these curses, and to complain about these curses, and to speak on these curses, and to confirm these curses, You have to confirm the words of Yah. So now when you can say, are we cursed as a nation? Yes. Why are we cursed as a nation? Well, because we didn't hearken to the voice of our Elohim. And we didn't do his commandments, his statutes, which he commanded us to do in this day. And he told us if we didn't do this, that the curses will overtake us. They will pursue us and overtake us. So now when you go to Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter, you can point out every single curse that Yah has put upon us, but no one starts at the 20th and the 15th verse. Yes, we curse, but why are we cursed? Because these are the works of Yahweh. Because is there any evil in the city? Yahweh has not done it. You don't think that you don't think Yahweh knows that it's nations that hate his people? Yahweh knows who hates him. So you know he's gonna hate his people. But we want to attribute these curses to everything and everyone else. Because we really try to make an excuse to try to not to confirm the words of Yah. To not do the commandments of Yah. So now we want to make America the land of milk and honey. Now we want to say the captivity is not coming to an end. That we just going to have to stay here. Because really, we're not trying to confirm the words of the true and living Elohim. This is what Yah has done. This is what Yah has said for. And what Yahweh has blessed, no man can curse. But what Yahweh has cursed, no man can bless. This shows you the difference between the holy and the unholy. And Yahweh said to do this in the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter. Yahweh said these things will happen. Yahweh said that this would be, this is what will happen to us then. This is what happened to our people. And this is what's happening to our people now. In the book of Leviticus, the 26th chapter, I'm going to start reading at the 27th verse. Leviticus 26 and verse 27 reads, and if you will not, for all this hearken unto me, walk contrary unto me, then will I walk contrary unto you. Also in fury, and I, even I, will chastise you seven times for your sins. And you shall eat the flesh of your sons, and the flesh of your daughters shall you eat. And I will destroy your high places, and cut down your images, and cast your carcasses upon the carcasses of your idols. And my soul shall abhor you, and I will make your cities waste, and bring your sanctuary unto desolation. And I will not smell the roar of your sweet odors. And I will bring the land into desolation, and your enemies which shall dwell therein shall be astonished in it. And I will scatter you amongst the heathen, and will draw out a sword after you, and your land shall be desolate, and your cities waste. Then shall the land enjoy her Sabbath, as long as it lieth desolate, and you be in your enemy's land, even then shall the land rest and enjoy her Sabbath. As long as it lieth desolate, it shall rest. Because it did not rest in your Sabbath when you dwelt upon it. So all this, man, you can't keep all but except that you're in the land. Well, we want to keep it alone, we live in the land. That's why these curses have overtook us and pursued us. That's why the our sanctuaries were destroyed. That's why you can't render the judgment that Yahweh has given as far as with the idol worship. People say, oh, you ain't do this, man, because people put to death. Well, it wasn't because we want to put them to death in the land. That's why we got kicked out. Because the land couldn't even enjoy her Shabbat. That's why we got kicked out. So the land can enjoy her Sabbath. In verse 36, it reads, and upon them that are left alive of you, will I send the faintness into their hearts, in the lands of their enemies, and the sound of a shaking leaf shall chase them, and they shall flee as the fleeing from a sword. And they shall fall with none pursuer. And they shall fall one upon another, as it were before a sword, with none pursuer. And you shall have no power to stand before your enemies. This right now, my people, is why we have the ghetto. This right now is why we have the poorest eating habits, the poorest economic system, the poorest family structure, the poorest everything you can look. We at the bottom of the totem pole. And it's not because just what this man is doing. This is the works of the Most High. Because Yahweh said he will put us in this position for not hearkening to his words. This is what Yah has done. Now, what Yah, man, has done is put themselves in the position to be the last hire and the first fire. What man has done is put themselves in the position to be nervous of a shaking leaf. What man has done is put themselves in a position to have a faint of heart. What man has done is have it so they have absolutely no rest. What man has done has polluted the land so much that the sanctuaries were destroyed and the land gave us out because it didn't enjoy her Sabbath. This is what man has done. This is what we have done. And he can't take the works that Yahweh has put, the works that Yahweh has put on his people and the heavens and the earth and give that responsibility or that credit to man. Because this is about the works of Yahweh. This is separating the holy from the unholy. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah, chapter. And in the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, I'm going to read two verses. And that's in the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, the 23rd verse. And we're going to read something. Because we're going to see why we haven't prospered. We're going to see why we've been trying to vote and been trying to march and trying to stir up movements and why they have been to of no avail of success. In the book of Jeremiah, the 10th chapter, and the 23rd verse, it reads, O Yahweh, I know that the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walketh to direct his steps. O Yahweh, correct me, but with judgment, but not in thy anger, lest thou bring me to nothing. Now, this is what the righteous is praying for. To be judged in Yahweh's judgment and not in his anger. But the vast majority of the world, they want to be judged in Yahweh's anger. Why? Because they're doing nothing to turn from wickedness. They're not trying to attempt to turn from wicked ways. They just keep adding sin unto sin. Because they really want to be dealt with in the anger of Yah. But if they knew Yah, and if they truly feared Yah, they would know that that's the last thing they would want to be dealt with, is in the anger of Yahweh. But they knew, the righteous know, it's not in man to direct steps. See, when man directs his steps, see, this is what man has done. Man corrupted themselves and put the book of Yahweh down. And they start picking up other books and start reading. And they start saying, well, I'm an Elohim. I'm a God. So I'm going to get myself out of this life. I'm going to direct my own steps. So contrary to what was just testified here in Jeremiah, the 10th chapter. Or what's even worse is that they've taken word of Yah and cast it to the side. And they say, we're going to do what our people did in the four times. And we're going to make us another God. They made them a calf of gold. And our people made Christ. And they got them in all colors. They got them in gold. They got them in silver. They got them in wood, bronze. No matter what, they got them in. And they serving this man as if he going to bring them any type of salvation. As if he was going, if he going to lead them into what anyways is salvation. And you read the testimonies of himself, and he couldn't even lead himself into salvation. But this is what our people chose to follow. This is what our people chose to walk after. This is the man that they said, if Sir JC is wrong, I don't want to be right. This is what they're showing. See, this is showing further and further. Every past day, the inside of man to direct itself. Because look at what decisions we are making. Yahweh gave us the opportunity to set up a king up over us. Because we murdered. Because we wanted to be like every other nation on the face of the earth. And we just wanted a king. And Yahweh said, look, I'll give you a king. But he sent his messenger to tell them what type of king they will be receiving. And what they will be receiving is an oppressor. And they said, they heard all this oppression that this king will be doing. And they said, that's fine. At least we'll have a king. And you know, and you think that there's nothing new under the sun. What are people doing today? They said, man, I know they're not going to do nothing to us, but at least we'll have a Democrat in office. I know that this man ain't showing me nothing or teaching me nothing or increasing me in the word of God, but I'm comfortable here. This is where I want to be. Because this is where I'm comfortable. This is where I'm comfortable with. This is who I wouldn't mind taking instructions from. This is who I wouldn't mind being led by. That's why Yahweh had his servant testify and said, look, I know it's not a man to direct his steps. And that's exactly what we got. We got an oppressor. And he did every last thing that Yahweh said that he would do. And we made a foolish decision. And Yahweh said, see, that's what happened when you made a decision. Because that's what man will do. But I'll choose you a leader. I'ma choose you a king. And this is what I'ma do. In the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. In the book of Ezekiel, the 34th chapter, I'm going to begin reading at the 20th verse. Ezekiel 34, verse 20 reads, thus saith Yahweh Elohim unto them, behold, I will judge between the fat cattle and between the lean cattle, because you have thrust with side and with shoulder, and pushed all the disease with your horn, till you have scattered them abroad. Therefore will I save my flock, and they shall no more be a prey. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. See, this is what man do. They thrust with the horn, and now we all diseased, and we sick, mentally, physically, spiritually. Our mentality is a spawn into our children. It just is sickness. And then Yahweh say, look, we act like we got to clean up Yahweh mess. And that's the embarrassing part. We act like we got to clean up Yahweh mess. Yahweh messed up so much, so now we got to get Christ. To do what? Yahweh messed up so much that now we got to read the Quran. For what? It's been so messed up that now we got to return and go back to Egypt. For what? See, it's not us that's cleaning up nothing from Yah. Yahweh got to come and clean up our messes that we done made. And that's why it says, it's I. Therefore, I will save my flock. They shall no more be afraid. And I will judge between cattle and cattle. And I will set up over them one shepherd. And he shall feed them. It's even my servant David. He shall feed them. And he shall be their shepherd. And Yahweh will be their Elohim. And my servant David, a prince amongst them. I, Yahweh, have spoken it. Why? Because this is what Yahweh has done. Set the crooked things straight. Make light out of darkness. Make a path out of where there was no path. That made the water come out of the flint of the rock. This is what Yahweh has done. Now what we've done, it's a bunch of murmur. What we've done is pull up a saw. What we've done is gather sticks on the Sabbath day. What we've done is refuse to hearken to the words of Yahweh's messenger. This is what we're doing. And then try to say, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah means praise to Yah. He'll praise Yah for rebelling against him. It makes absolutely no sense. But it's not supposed to, because confusion of faith belongs unto us because we have sinned against the Most High. And now Yahweh is setting the crooked things straight. Yahweh is bringing us into a path of which we have not known. And it's Yahweh that's bringing light out of the darkness. This is what Yahweh has done, not us. And we look at this, and we see David in Ezekiel, the 34th chapter. We see David in Ezekiel, the 30th, we see it in Isaiah, we see it in Jeremiah, we see it in Ezekiel, we see it in Psalms. We see David, we see it in the book of Hosea. We see David, and then say, who has Yahweh set up to rule over us? Son of David, the nephew of David, the cousin of David, is David's uncle. And you're like, where did you get this? Let's say the sons of David. You understand the Most High issued out a challenge to all the sons of David? It's in the book of Psalms, the 132nd chapter. In the book of Psalms, the 132nd chapter, and we're going to go straight, but we're going to start the 11th verse. Psalm 132 and 11, it reads, Yahweh has sworn in truth unto David, he will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I set upon thy throne. And let's read verse 12. If that means that's contingent upon. If thy children will keep my covenant and my testimony, I shall teach them, their children shall also sit upon the throne forevermore. So this was contingency. Yahweh said, if. Well, did the sons of David do this? No. Why the throne of David is still the throne of David. And it's called back to the one who has a heart like unto Yahweh, who was beloved by Yahweh. This man was beloved. That's what his name means, beloved. Because Yahweh, King David is a sign. King David is a sign of the works of Yahweh. King Saul is what the works of man, the decisions of man, and what we'll do. Just put anybody up over us to do something and know that they're inadequate for the position, but still want to put them in a position because we try to mimic and be like every other nation. When Yahweh has already said, I have severed you from all families of the earth to be a peculiar treasure to me. Because this is what Yah has done. Yahweh separated the light from the darkness. But what man tries to do is bring it back together. Yahweh has set up over us a righteous king. But what does man want to do? Set up over someone that can be corrupted. Yahweh has said that we have had only a time of the season that we will be in captivity. And what is man trying to do? Mumble up the words of Yah and make it look like captivity is forever. And if Yahweh is not dealing with judgment. See, all this is just a separation between the holy and the unholy. And this is how you know that this is coming from the imagination of man's heart. You know that this is coming from the imagination of man's words and man's thoughts. Because that's what every time there's a righteous man that perish, we go seek his own way. And this is the testimony that y'all left behind in the book of Judges, the 21st chapter. In the book of Judges, the 21st chapter, I'm going to read it. I'm going to start reading at the 23rd verse. Judges 21 and 23 reads, "And the children of Benjamin did so, and took their wives, according to their number, of them that danced, whom they caught, and they went and returned unto their own and to their inheritance, and repaired the city, and dwelt in them. And the children of Israel departed thence at that time, every man to his tribe and to his family. And they went out from thence, every man to his inheritance." Now, verse 25, this is the condition of what we're in today. It says, "And in those days, there was no king in Israel, and every man did that which was right in his own eyes." And that's exactly what's taking place today. Every man's just doing that which is right in his own eyes. And when you try to show, establish, go forth, and show your people what thus saith Yahweh, they won't hear none of it. They don't want to confirm it. They don't want to follow after it. They don't want to walk in it. They just say, "That's your interpretation. That's your opinion. That's what you see out of it. I see something different." As if we all sat down and came up with a book to write about Yahweh. This is not our book. It's not our wisdom. It's not our understanding. And it's not our knowledge. This is what Yahweh has done. And all we've done is just put confusion of faith upon ourselves. But this is the words of Yahweh. And this is what Yahweh left in the testimony. When the leader perish, then every man is going to go and do what that which is wise in his own eyes. This is why Yahweh said that King David, he's going to raise him up, and he's going to be our prince, and he's going to be our king. He's going to be a witness, a leader, a commander. He's going to be a shepherd. He said he's going to be these things forever. Because Yahweh will establish his works between what man is trying to establish. Turn with me to the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter. In the book of Numbers, the 10th chapter. Because another thing our people love to indulge in, oh, they love war. They love war. And they can't wait to kick butt and take names. That's what they want to do. They want to go out there and they think it's going to be like the Avengers. They're going to go out there and assemble themselves. It's going to be all type of action and people flying through the air. Because we really think that it's us that wins wars. We want to show how many man heads we can cut off. We want to show how many nations we can burn down. But we leave it out, main key ingredient. In Numbers, the 10th chapter, and the very first verse, it reads, "And Yahweh spake unto Moses, saying, Make you two trumpets of silver, of a whole piece shall you make them. And he said, Make you two trumpets of silver of a whole piece." He didn't say a ram's horn, a bull's horn, a coach whistle. He said, "Make two trumpets." He said that you may use them for the calling of the assembly and for the journeying of the camps. Now, do you see our people doing this today? No. The vast majority of our people blowing out a ram's horn. They got it hung up. If that's the confirmation of Yahweh's law. But why are two trumpets important? They're not just for the calling of the assembly. But if you skip down to the 9th verse, it says, "And if you go to war in your land against the enemy that oppress you, then you shall blow an alarm of the trumpets, and you shall be remembered before Yahweh your Elohim, and you shall be saved from your enemy." Why? Because Yahweh goes before us. It's Yahweh that fights our battles. It's Yahweh that goes before us and weakens the nations. the nations will be afraid of us because we serve the true and living Elohim. Not because we can knock heads off and cut heads off. Because these nations can do that too. But what these nations don't get is true and living Elohim in their midst. And this is what separates us from them. This is what separates the holy from the unholy. This is what separates the works of Yahweh from the works of what man has done. And all we've done is just set before us a bunch of confusion. But if we seek out Yahweh's words, seek out his testimonies, and confirm them and do them, we will see the beauty in the Elohim that we serve. Because we will know that it is not by us that we live, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of Elohim do we live. Turn me to the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter. We got an Elohim that has designed for us. We have an Elohim that fights for us. We have an Elohim that has told us how to eat right, how to dress right, how to think right, how to nourish and build a household, how to nation build. And that's why I say this is the book of Leviticus, the 24th chapter and the 22nd verse. It says, you shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger, and as for one of your own country, for I am Yahweh, your Elohim. So Yahweh is let it be known that there's one manner of law. But we don't serve two or three Elohims. And we don't have two or three different manner of law. This is what Yah says, but this is where I think should go. No, there's one manner of law. That's for the homeborn and for the stranger. And guess what law is? It's the law of Yahweh. Not the law of me, not the law of you, not the law of Mr. and Mrs. Negro. This is the law of Yahweh. And look at what it says in the book of Malachi, the 4th chapter. In the book of Malachi, the 4th chapter and the 4th verse, it reads, remember ye the law of Moses, my servant, which I command unto him in Horeb for all Israel with the statutes and judgments. And then it says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of Yahweh. And he shall turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Because for disobeying Yahweh's commandments, for disobeying Yahweh's law, that's exactly what comes unto you, a curse. And what will King David be teaching? A lie? What are y'all going to send him to come with? The same thing, the word of Yahweh. The same thing that he's sending his servants before you today to tell you. The words of Yahweh. The script doesn't change. The prescription doesn't change. It doesn't get altered. Why? Because there's one manner of law. For him that is homeborn, and for him, for the stranger also. There's one manner of law. Because we serve an Elohim that is one. Yahweh said this is the wisdom of Yah said this is the book of Proverbs, the 10th chapter. You don't see people glorifying in this law? And give a testimony that we serve the true living Elohim. They don't marvel in the greatness of the Most High because they don't even see the greatness of the Most High. In the book of Proverbs, the 10th chapter, and the 24th verse, it says that the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. Because this is what you said. The fear of the wicked. They fear Babylon falling. And falling. And they get panicky. They see all the things that they made an Elohim unto themselves, collapsing and crumbling. And they panicking. They see all the things that they put their trust in, they trust, and all their heart's desire for that which is not of Yah, and they see that it's all leaving them right before their very eyes, and they're panicking. Because the fear of the wicked, it shall come upon him. But just like that, it says, but the desires of the righteous shall be granted. So no, you're not a Bill Gates in America. No, you're not a Steve Jobs in America. Because all these things are just temporary fixes. What Yahweh has said for his people is going to be forever. And Yahweh said that none that wait on him shall be disappointed. That's why the desires of the righteous shall be granted. Because Yahweh has taken us through this trial. Yahweh has taken us through this journey. Yahweh has taken us through this to show us and to see if we're going to serve him or whether we're not. To see if we're going to praise Yahweh and witness for him or whether we're going to. Yahweh is showing us this very day and separating the holy from the unholy. This is what Yahweh is doing. Turn me to the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter. In the book of Psalms, the 34th chapter, and the 19th verse, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. Yes, there are afflictions. Yes, there are sacrifices to be made to keep the Sabbath day holy. Yes, there are sacrifices to be made to pay your tithes and offerings. Yes, there are sacrifices that are made to hearken to the words of Yahweh's servant. Yes, there are sacrifices to be made in reverencing Yahweh's sanctuary. Yes, there are sacrifices to be made and waiting patiently upon King David. Whoever looks good to you and I. Yes, there are sacrifices that are to be made. But understand this, that surely Yahweh will do nothing but that which he reveals to the servant, the prophet. Because all these things that we are waiting for, all these things that we are dependent on, all these things that we can't wait to see, these are not the works of man, but these are the works of Yahweh. This is not what I've created. This is what Yahweh has created. This is not the plan of me. This is the plan of Yahweh. And all these trials, all these tribulations, all these afflictions, all the various doubts, all the sights and wonders that's before our eyes is simply to do two things. And that's to separate the works of Yah from the works of man. To separate the holy from the unholy. So until tomorrow, Yahweh loves you. So do we at the house of Israel. Shalom. Thank you.
Nowhere in the New Testament does God speak to anyone at any time.